it was clear that the Italian was doing very well. He could have killed the wounded man any number of times, but he was satisfied to harass him with false lunches and fine, as though he were enjoying lying the trash home. He resumed a thin black cat toying with a mouse before sinking it close into it.
At his feet, knee on the ground and back against the wall, one hand clutching the wood bleeding through his clothing, the younger Englishman was trying not to faint, and barely parrying his adversary's attacks. He did not ask for mercy. Instead, his face, mortally pallid, showed dignified determination. His teeth were clenched, and he was resolved to die without crying out or moaning.
Lipofai!
Alatriste shouted to the Italian. Between thrusts, the captain's cohort looked at him, surprised to see him beside the second Englishman, who was disarmed and still standing.
The tiger hesitated an instant, looked back at his subject opponent, made a harker find, and again looked toward the captain.
Is that a jest?
He asked, stepping back to catch his breath as he wiped his sword through the air, right and left.
Lipov!
Alatriste insisted. The Italian stared at him, open-mouthed, unable to believe what he had just heard.
In the dying light of a lantern, his pockmarked face looked like the surface of the moon. His black mustache twinned into a sinister smile, revealing his gleaming white teeth.
Don't fuck this up now,
the Italian said finally. Alatriste took one step toward him, and the Italian looked at the sword in his hand.
On his knee, uncomprehending, the wounded youth shifted his eyes from one to the other.
There is more to him than we thought,
the captain stated.
So we will kill them another day.
The Italian stared even harder. His smile grew grimmer and more incredulous, and then disappeared. He shook his head.
You are mad,
he said.
This could cost us our necks.
I will take the responsibility.
So? The Italian seemed to be thinking it over. Then, with the speed of a comet, he lunged at the Englishman with a thrust so forceful that had Alatriste not blocked his sword, it would have pinned the youth to the wall.
This time it, the black cloud figure wheeled toward the captain with an oath. And this time it was Alatriste who had to call in his instinct as swordman to fend off the second thrust, which came with a hail of sign of his care. The Italian had attacked with the most vicious intention in the world.
We will meet again,
he cried.
Somewhere. And kicking over the lantern as he ran, the Italian disappeared into the darkness of the street, again a shadow among shadows. From far away, his laugh echoed for an instant, like the worst of auguries.